Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
The Franchise Geeks presents Social Geek Radio. Hello geeks, I'm Jack Munson, your social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, VetFran, and Answer Connect. Imagine your customers and potential customers reaching a live person every time they call and never getting a voicemail. Answer Connect is making that happen with a team of professional, upbeat, friendly customer service experts ready to impress your callers and deliver your messages around the clock. Answer Connect works with franchise systems, enterprise brands, and small businesses who need phones answered 24/7 in any time zone, a virtual receptionist, inbound sales calls handled, appointments scheduled, or even HIPAA-trained customer service. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. All right, folks, today we are talking about marketing automation with our old friend Jam Hashmi. He's the CEO of FranchiseSoft, and he joins us once again on Social Geek Radio. What's happening, Jam?
Hey, Jack. Great to be here and enjoying the fact that it's maybe a closing game for the Toronto Raptors. Very excited about the city. Hopefully it wouldn't be NBA Finals tonight, so excited about that.
You know, I have to just stop for a minute for our Canadian friends and say, if 30 years ago you would have told me that Canada was going to be an NBA powerhouse, I would have said, what? They play something besides hockey? But it's been really exciting. So congratulations to all of those fans.
Perfect.
And, you know, this is actually, Jam, I think one of the few weeks of the year that I actually am not seeing you in person at a marketing conference. So long time no see, my friend. For those of you who may not know Jam, Jam, give us a little background on your history and your companies. Tell us your story.
Sure. My first job interview ever after I graduated from University of Toronto with a genetics and microbiology major was in franchising, obviously. And so I didn't know what I was going to do because everything was a bit expensive. But I decided to work for a little bit before I went into pursuing becoming a doctor. That didn't seem to work out. I stayed in that same franchise company for about 12 years. I was their VP of channel development. I ended up kind of doing a whole bunch of, franchise development through franchise consultants, working with portal leads and so on. And then I learned a lot about franchising and I learned a lot about digital marketing because that franchise was a marketing consulting franchise. So I thought, hey, why not package it all up and sell it by the gram, so they say, right? So yeah. I packaged it all up and I started my agency and that was about 6 years ago. We have about 100 franchise brands that we work with. And then I also started a software company called FranchiseSoft. And FranchiseSoft is a franchise management software and CRM system. It's a cloud-based application. So I launched that, and now we're starting to go out there and roll that out to franchisors across the U.S. and Canada.
So let's take a step back. 6 years ago, were people even thinking about the term marketing automation? And if so, what did that even mean back then? I guess it probably meant just a lot of big email blasts, right?
You're absolutely right. I think a lot of it at 6 years ago had to do with, hey, if I sent an email or if I filled in a lead form, can I get an automated message back? And if you were kind of doing that, a drip campaign was considered to be pretty high tech when it came to marketing automation. And so a lot of people were doing that about 6 years ago. Well, some of them were, more than that, there wasn't much going on in the marketing automation realm at the time when I started my agency.
And now jumping ahead 6 years, what's really kind of the hottest thing that you see in the field right now, either in franchising or maybe outside of franchising, when it comes to marketing automation? Is it still email-based, or what other types of things are really kind of leading the pack right now?
I mean, email is always there, right? You notice a lot of people are communicating back to and fro utilizing email. And
yeah. We just can't seem to get away from it, can we? It's always,
correct.
Yeah.
it forms that underlying base, right, of all communication that's happening that's somewhat non-committal, right? Email is more non-committal than something like a text message and so on, because text messages get responded to much more frequently. And so we're finding that that automation piece is moving towards on-device, on-demand, right? So mm-hmm. if I've requested information off my mobile phone, there's a layer of marketing automation that is not that has nothing to do with email. It could actually have everything to do with a chat bot, or it could have a text message that's sent back to me on my device. And I can go out there and engage in a two-way conversation utilizing that device. And now fast forwarding into more intent-based automation, right? Like, and you may have started seeing this come through even on your, for example, if you have a Gmail account. Nowadays, what Gmail is starting to do is it's actually starting to finish your sentences for you.
Yeah.
As you're thumbing a response, before it used to have these kind of two or three little boxes that you can tap on and automate some of the responses really quickly. But now it's actually intuitively coming up with a response that it thinks you're going to write by filling in the rest of your sentence. And so, you know, you often talk about how your soulmate can finish your sentences, but Google's kind of trying to do that, right? It's trying to finish your sentences. And it's
Google,
actually
your new
powered
soulmate.
By Google is my new soulmate. It's actually powered by big data on the back end. And so I think a lot of marketing automation is now moving towards leveraging information in big data, running that through complex algorithms and mathematical formulas to go out there and produce responses that are much closer to the intent of what the searcher or what the person is talking about. So more complex, more intuitive, more robot or AI, artificial intelligence based. I think that's where it's going. We're starting to see parts of that happening already on websites. Oftentimes when you're engaging with one of those little chat windows, especially if it's transactional communication, a lot of that is powered by chatbots. There's not a human on the other side. And we find that people are okay knowing that it's not a human as long as they're able to get the answers that they need.
Yeah, we had a discussion about that at one of the IFA events. I think it was about a month ago when we were in Denver, about some brands were still thinking that customers don't want to deal with a chatbot. They want to deal with a real person. And I think that's absolutely true when it comes to a phone call. But I don't know, I called a few people out at that thing saying that I think I'd rather deal when I'm on a website, I'd rather deal with a chatbot than someone who probably doesn't have access to as much information as the chatbot has. And I think I see it going more and more that way. People are cool with a chatbot. They know that it's not a real person. I think we're past that whole, did you know that that's not really a person? Yeah, we all know. I think we're there.
And we're okay with it. And we're okay with it.
Yeah. In fact, sometimes I'd rather deal with the chatbot than anyway. Do you think the chatbot is sort of the next email in that will be the basis of communications with a brand or with a corporate entity, or is that short-lived?
I think it's definitely moving towards, like I said, on-device, on-demand, right? So if I'm looking to go out there and engage with something utilizing my SMS on my phone, mm-hmm. And more people are because, you know, mobile traffic to websites is increasing significantly. It's probably more than 50% of your overall traffic to websites is now coming in through mobile devices. And so if your users are already there and you're not there, then there should be a conversation that you should be having with your team on how to go out there and get there, because your customers are already there. They already want to engage at that level, and it's a behavioral shift, right? Like I walked into a Tim Hortons, you know, a Canadian brand up here, to go out there buy a coffee because the drive-through line was very, very long. So I thought, hey, you know, I'll go inside and maybe I can just pick up my one coffee and then get out of there quick. Now when I walked in, the line up to talk to the cashier was fairly long as well. But I noticed that there were this, like one person in front of a big giant screen, touch screen, that was basically ordering whatever it is that they wanted. And I watched this person while I was in line at the back of the line with like 10 or 12 people in front of me. This person went out there and ordered whatever it is that they wanted. And then they didn't wait in line. They walked right to the side where the pickup section was. And they just picked up their I think it was a coffee or whatever they got to eat, and they walked right out. And it was faster than the cashier was able to go out there and take an order and deliver on the order for the person that the cashier spoke with. Yep. So guess what? I jumped out of line. I went to the screen, ordered what I wanted. And then everybody's looking at me like, wait a minute, how come this guy is being served before us, even though we've all been waiting in line and we saw him at the back of the line. And so I thought that was pretty neat, because I think people just want to go out there and engage on device, on demand. In fact, there was this one other lady that walked in. She didn't even go to that screen. She used a mobile app on her phone, had it already placed, and just simply came to pick up the order and walked right out.
Right. She was already one step ahead of you, and you were
even one step ahead of me.
The crowd.
So all that to say that I think that's where obviously a lot of the consumers are going, and it's something that businesses need to recognize.
I had a similar experience a while back with a car rental facility where I actually had to talk to human beings and wait in line to talk to someone behind a counter about a car. And I haven't done that in several years. You know, it's been you up on your phone and you bypass any human interaction, which is kind of the way I like it when I travel. It was kind of weird just to have to deal with someone again. I felt like it was kind of a trip back to, 2005 or something. So
it's kind of the one time that you're asked, why don't you go and handwrite a note and mail it to someone? And I had to Google what do I do? Do I need a stamp? I not need a stamp?
Right. Where do I put the return address? Where does that go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can't I just email them an e-card?
You know? Right, right. And everybody gets to experience my awesome handwriting too. So I think we see where this is going. And unless someone comes along and completely upsets the industry once again, I think we see where the next couple of years are going to take us. What are some of the challenges with that, though? Are we missing out on customer experience, or do you think there's enough value in the sort of constant flow of contact and the data collected that everyone is going to be pretty much okay with not having that in-person experience with, let's say people behind a counter?
I actually don't know. I don't know how humans will feel that they get what they want, but they don't get it with a smile.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I think there may be a, and it would be short term in my mind. I think there would be a gap. And certainly I think the older generations more so than the younger generation. I think the younger generations are brought up to kind of have this almost an impersonal connection through their device. And, because of the way they communicate nowadays, they'll prefer text messages over phone calls. They don't really like to engage. And so I think with the younger generation, it'll be less of an issue. But I think with the older generation, especially as they age and maybe working on devices becomes more difficult for them, they would probably miss some of that social interaction.
Yeah, we'll see. Is there anything that you're telling your customers now that they need to be thoughtful on that subject, or anything they need to watch out for, or maybe you're telling them to jump in, or maybe don't jump in so fast? Any thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, one of the things that, and I think it's not by design. It was actually we kind of stumbled across an opportunity. Which is, the way franchise buyers are going out there, and I'm going to get specific to the franchise development because, it's very relevant to it.
Yeah.
The way franchise buyers are shopping for franchises nowadays is different than they were a decade ago.
Yeah.
A decade ago, you didn't have to, or even 5 years ago. Yeah, exactly. And so at that time, people were not so, you didn't have to go out there and have a very extensive, large franchise development website. You didn't have to go out there and be forthright with a lot of information. You could tell people that, hey, if they wanted to find out about you, they'd have to call you, and then you'd have to qualify them, et cetera.
Yeah. Having a nice gatekeeper there too, right? And
exactly. Sure,
yeah.
Exactly. But now the information is so readily available, right? Across the internet, you can go out there and download, FDD, your FDDs for all franchisors, from the internet before you talk to anybody. In fact, the average user is said to have reviewed like 20 or 30 pieces of information on your franchise development opportunity before they inquire about your brand or speak to anybody. And it's funny, I was speaking with the brand earlier today, and they said, yeah, Jam, but we only have one page on franchise. And I said, isn't it scary where they're finding the other 19?
Yeah.
And there was like a pause, right? I said, because if they're not finding it on your site, then they're finding it somewhere. It's better right. that you control that narrative. Right.
Someone's saying something said, about you.
Yeah. Somebody is, exactly. So what we decided was, just like how people buy cars, right? They go out there, they build a car, they select the color, the interior, the exterior, the wheels, the paint, they even go as far as putting on the navigation package. They price out the monthly payments based on down payments and whatever money they qualify for. And all of this is done on their computer, on their device, on demand, before they walk into a dealership.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they know more about the car than the rep does.
Yeah.
And so we mimicked that same process, and we built what we called, it's called our virtual brochure, or we also call it the Applicant Learning Center. It's a bolt-on front-end sales tool for franchise development departments, so that it allows, when someone inquires about your brand, it gives them information to a virtual brochure, an online kind of sectioned off, rich with multimedia brochure that allows them to consume information the way they want, on the device they want, in the medium they want. So they want to watch videos? Well, it's got videos. They want to read stuff? They can read stuff. They want to watch stuff or download PDFs or white papers? Great, they can do all of that stuff. And it gives us the kind of the ability to start asking more qualification questions while they're interacting with the third-party applicant learning center, right? So instead of a sales rep asking, how much money do you have in the bank? It's one of the fields that is required to get more information inside our virtual brochure. And so we find that there's a good level of engagement. And of course, armed with that knowledge, while people go through this automated way of learning about your brand, the power is not necessarily in the fact that there's a great sales tool that they can visually go out there and interact with, but the analytics in the back end.
Yeah,
the sales rep has the ability to go out there and see a lot of information in the back end on what's being searched.
Yeah, you can see what they're reading and searching and spending more time with. Now, tell me sort of the state of the industry in franchising, though. Is it not true that some of these packages are sort of coming to the end of their life? And I'm thinking of some of the things that are a little bit more of a gateway. And tell me about that, and how is that affecting the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big software companies out there recently went out there and put an end to life of their virtual brochure. And so it had a number of franchisors that have been utilizing it. And I mean, that's created a whole bunch of opportunity for franchise software. We're not complaining about that. But I will say that I think they're missing an opportunity there. The reason is people like to learn. Most people are visual learners. They want to interact. They want to be talked to by a sales rep all day. They want to be able to go on device, on demand. And if we could provide them a means of doing that, and at the same time empower through analytics our sales rep to know about the things that are interesting to this candidate, I think we go out there and increase our likelihood of having that person come all the way through the process.
Is there a danger in putting up too much of a gate? And I don't even mean a gateway, I mean a closed gate, where someone who maybe could have been a good candidate, maybe got kind of locked out of the, because they didn't agree to, you know, giving some information to go to the next level. Is there a fear there?
There is a little bit of a fear, but the smart companies, so some of these larger brands that are now starting to utilize us for, you know, for the franchise development, they keep a couple of sections opened up that have enough information that you're armed enough with the information as a candidate that you can say that, hey, I know a little bit about the brand. So they keep a bunch of sections opened up. And then as you get more and more engaged into their process, then certain pieces of information, financial information, sensitive information is put behind the password. So in fact, they have the ability to toggle on and toggle off certain sections within their virtual brochure, which I think was a pretty smart thing to do.
Very cool.
And so, it seems to be working out well for them.
All right. Excellent. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the show with Jam today. But first, this message that Social Geek Radio is a proud supporter of the International Franchise Association's VetFran program. For nearly 30 years, VetFran has been the bridge between the franchise and veteran communities, educating veterans about entrepreneurship, encouraging franchisors to commit to veterans, and advocating for veteran franchisees. The program has nearly 600 corporate members and operates a national network of veteran franchisees supported by public and private sector partners. Learn more about VetFran at vetfran.org. Jam, thanks so much for joining us today on Social Geek Radio. If people want to learn a little bit more about what's up with you and Franchise Soft and some new things that you're doing, where can they connect and ask you a few questions?
I'm on LinkedIn. You can easily find me. If you look up Jam Hashmi or look up Franchise Soft CEO, I'm there. Or you can email me jam, like peanut butter and jam, at franchisesoft.com.
Perfect. Excellent. We will have links to all of those places at socialgeekradio.com, and we will look forward to seeing you at a franchise event very soon. Thanks for joining tonight, Jam. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And good night, everybody.